It's good to be in the house of God today. I'm thankful for his presence and that he truly is Alpha and Omega. He is. He is the beginning and he is the end. And I believe I do have a word from the Lord for you today. If you would turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. As you well know, that today is our nation's Independence Day. And there are all sorts of festivities and celebrations that are going on and transpiring. And although that today we commemorate our liberation from the British, we want this to be a different type of Independence Day in which people are liberated from the greatest enslavement of humanity, which is sin. And that if you are struggling with sin, if you're struggling with the enemy today, that we want to help you find liberation. Praise God. You have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, say amen. Verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that with what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8 is what I want to focus on for this message. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I want to preach to a message simply entitled, The Brightness of His Coming. And that I believe that if there ever was a day, or I should say an hour, where we need the light, the illumination of his coming, it is in this hour. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to deliver this word to you, and I want you to help me preach this or receive this, because I believe God wants to bless someone today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you and worship you. We thank you for your presence that is already here. We pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that your spirit would liberate those that are in bondage to darkness, in bondage to the enslavement of sin, in bondage to the enslavement of Satan. God, that there'd be deliverance in this house. And oh God, that the saints of the living God, those that are depressed, those that are discouraged, those that are fighting with anxiety and fighting with weariness, that their spirits and their minds, their heads would be lifted, would be elevated up at the soon return of your coming. God, that even as you instructed us in the word to comfort each other with these words, God, I pray that this word would comfort the saints and draw those, oh Lord Jesus, who do not know you into a place of repentance. We thank you, we bless you, we worship you, we exalt you, and in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The text that we are referring to here today is describing the coming of a world leader whom we all know as the Antichrist, who will eventually rule and deceive the world, and many are still trying to figure out what his identity is. However, what many people fail to realize is that there is more than one Antichrist, that there are actually many Antichrists. The Bible says in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Often we get so focused on the main Antichrist who is to come and to rule the world that we neglect the idea that there are actually many Antichrists that are already in existence, that are operating and that are deceiving and are afflicting and oppressing the people of God and deceiving the whole world. Now, what does the Bible mean by this term Antichrist. The word Antichrist comes from the Greek word antichristos, which means against Christ or in opposition of Christ, a rival to Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 2:22 that who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The spirit of Antichrist, the many Antichrists, have really one primary motive, and that is to deny the spirit of Christ or the manifestation of Christ coming in the flesh. If you notice in 1 John chapter 4, we look at verse 1, that John gives some instructions to the church by which we can test and assess whether or not a spirit is of God, and notice the test that he gives. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The Bible says that the primary way that we can test whether or not a spirit is of God is by asking it whether or not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The incarnation is the litmus test by which we assess whether or not a spirit is of God or it's of the Antichrist. So the spirit of Antichrist is defined in two different ways, and what it does and also how it does it. Firstly, it is defined in what it does, in that it rivals, it opposes, and even counterfeits Christ. Any spirit that is trying to usurp the position with which Christ should stand is a spirit of Antichrist. Anything that tries to sell itself as being like Christ when it is not actually originated from Christ is a spirit of Antichrist. Anything that opposes the gospel of Jesus, anything that takes a position of being God or having dominion over your life is a spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit of Antichrist can be an addiction, it can be a relationship, it could be a substance, it could be anything. But if it rivals the spirit of Christ, it is Antichrist in opposition of Christ, rivaling and opposing Christ. And again, what it does, how it does this is that at first it will try to deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The spirit of Antichrist, its primary motive is denying that Christ came in the flesh. And later on in the message, we're going to deal with as to why. Of all the things that it is trying to undermine and trying to thwart, it is trying to stop the idea that that Christ came in the flesh, that the Word was made carnate. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This spirit of Antichrist is in the world now. I know that people are looking through and studying eschatology and looking for the coming world leader, but you have to recognize that the spirit of Antichrist is already here now. It is already working. It is hostile towards the gospel, and it most certainly has great animosity and hatred towards anyone who professes that Jesus Christ is Lord. John chapter 15, verse 18 says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The reason why the world is so hostile towards us, because it is being run and governed by a spirit of Antichrist. It's why that they are trying to blaspheme and profane the name of Christ. You don't hear people taking the name of Allah in vain. You don't hear people blaspheming Buddha or some other deity, but everyone is always against the name of Christ. They use his name as a curse word, as a byword by which to bring his name down, even though it's at his name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that his name is higher than any name that is named. It doesn't matter if your name is intimate intellectual or if it's Einstein or if it's Bill Gates, his name is superior, and yet they try to sully and they try to bring his name down because it is the spirit of Antichrist. This spirit, this malignant spirit, is after your soul. As Sister Mary alluded to earlier during her message this morning, that the spirit of Satan comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His primary motive is the extinction, the annihilation, or the oppression of the entire human race. It's enslavement to sin. How do we fight against such a homicidal cosmic maniac whose sole purpose is to destroy us, who has cunning, who has studied our habits, who knows our whereabouts, who knows our proclivities, and knows our weaknesses, and does everything he can to entice us, to persuade us, to tempt us, to get us to fall. And our flesh also is in league and as a bedfellow with his efforts, getting into his sinful temptations. How do we fight against such a spirit that is murderous, that knows our whereabouts, that studied us, that for thousands of years has enslaved humanity? How do we fight against such a spirit? I want to go back to our scripture text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to start at verse 6 this time. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica and giving them instructions regarding the coming of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now, the scripture says that the Antichrist, the head honcho, the CEO, the big guy, the big gun, the boss, El Jefe himself, he's running the show, that he will be destroyed by two elements. One that talks about the spirit of the sword of his mouth. With the spirit of his mouth, and secondly, he'll be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. These two things are what are designed to destroy the Antichrist. What I submit unto you, if these things will destroy the Antichrist, don't you think it will destroy the many Antichrists that are running in your life right now? Anything that is trying to subvert, anything that's trying to overturn and overrule the Spirit of God from having preeminence and dominance in your life is Antichrist. Anything that's trying to take a position as God in your life is Antichrist. And the way that you can beat the Antichrist is through the Spirit of the Lord's mouth, and secondly, the brightness of his coming. Why are these two elements the means by which the enemy is defeated? Firstly, let's deal with the spirit of his mouth. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That when Christ comes to deal with the Antichrist, to deal with the beast of the sea, the Bible says he's going to slay him by just his words. That his words are sharp like a two-edged sword, cutting and slaying every demonic imp that's in existence. By him speaking his word, that the enemy is slain. By speaking his word, the enemy is defeated. And this is the case because the enemy is a liar. His power comes through deception and through lies and through misdirection. And what beats a lie is the truth. And everything that God says is the truth. The Bible says, I believe in John chapter 17, it says that thy word is truth. His word is truth. So Jesus comes on the scene and begins to speak the word of truth. The Bible says in Matthew 4 verse 4 that man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That as God begins to speak his truth to the world who's been enslaved by the deception of the Antichrist will be defeated by the spirit of his mouth. The second element, which is where I primarily want to put my focus on today, to defeating the Antichrist is the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming. And this affects him, one, because we are fighting against the prince of darkness. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The brightness of his coming, that the sheer radiance, the sheer majesty and glory of his presence, pushes away the darkness of the enemy. Now, this is going to defeat the main Antichrist. How is that applicable in our world today, where we are right now? I want to give you a bit of an analogy that if you walk into a room and you see that the lights are on, you know that two things, that someone has been there or someone is there, presently there. In the same sense, the brightness of his coming as it relates to us is the evidence that Jesus has been here or he is here. The brightness of his coming should be inside of every believer. Every believer is a torch, is a lamp, is a light, is a beacon that shows and proves that the Lord is coming. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. The brightness of his coming is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the evidence that the King has been here or he is here. And because I have the brightness of his coming inside of me, all I need to do is unveil it, and it will push back the darkness of the spirit of Antichrist that is fighting against me. This was not in my notes. Turn with me to Matthew 25. We're going to start at verse 1. Matthew 25. I don't take credit for this. My grandfather is actually the one that pointed this out. And I think it's a very interesting point that he makes. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Let there be not enough for us, and go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now let me just stop here just for a minute. These virgins, now what this is describing is a Jewish wedding. These 10 virgins are actually like, would be the equivalent of bridesmaids. And that the way that a Jewish wedding worked is you didn't know when the date was. The way that a Jewish wedding worked is that first, the bridegroom, he would make a proposal and he would sign a contract with the father of the bride. He would then go back to his father's house and he would build an addition onto his father's house where he would take his bride to consummate the marriage. So the thing is, the wedding couldn't happen until the room was ready. So you didn't know when it was going to happen. And it could happen usually at any time. Sometimes it happened at midnight or during the night as a surprise, which is why that the bridesmaids always had to have their lamps ready to walk in the darkness to go into the wedding. What we see in this text, though, is that 5 of them were foolish and had no oil in their lamp. Now, my grandfather, he pointed this out. He said that the lamp represented the word. Because in Psalm 119:105, he says, thy word is a under my feet and a light unto my path. But the word without the oil isn't enough. It's not just having the word. You've got to have some oil in you to have illumination. There are people who have PhDs who know the word but don't have any oil. And because they have no oil, they have no light. And because they have no light, when the King comes, they are not ready to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. The lamp is the brightness of his coming. When you are carrying that lamp with you on the way, you are letting everyone know the bridegroom is here. What God is saying to you, we need to get oil in our lamp and to ignite ourselves to show the brightness of his coming. The Bible says, In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I want to answer the question I posed earlier, which is, why does the spirit of Antichrist hate the idea of the incarnation? Remember that the way that you tested whether or not a spirit was of God or not was whether or not it confessed that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. The reason why the spirit of Antichrist attacks this idea of the gospel, because if Christ could come in the flesh as Jesus, that means he could also come into my flesh and live inside of me. And so if he can stop us from believing that Jesus came at all, it would stop from Jesus taking residence inside of me and illuminating my lamp to dispel the darkness in my life that shows the brightness of his coming. Every time I worship the Lord under the power of the Holy Ghost, I am testifying to the brightness of his coming. Every time I lay hands on the sick with the power of God under my hands, I'm testifying to the brightness of his coming, because he lives inside of me. He's coming one day to crack the eastern sky and take his bride home back with him. Every time I feed the poor, I'm showing the brightness of his coming by letting my good works show before men. That's how you fight against the spirit of Antichrist. You show the brightness of his coming. The devil tries to depress you. The devil tries to discourage you. You look at the devil and say, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we'll welcome his return. It may be morn. It may be night or noon, but he's coming. He's coming soon. Comfort one another with these words. When you're being discouraged, when the bills are stacking up, remind yourself that he's coming soon. Remind yourself you've got the brightness of his coming inside of you to remind you that he's coming to take you away to a place of no tears, a place of no pain, a place of no sickness, a place of no sorrow, a place of no death. He's coming soon. If we would realize that the brightness of his coming dwells within inside of us, those of us who've been born of water and of spirit, those of us who've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you carry in yourself a torch, a light that can dispel any darkness. And all you have to do is activate it by doing what the Word of God says. That's how you fight the spirit of Antichrist. And people don't like it, because the fact of the matter is that light exposes. Have you ever done something good for Jesus and people get on your back because of it? People attack you because of it. It's that spirit of Antichrist that dwells in darkness, that does not want the light, doesn't want the light to be shown, because it reminds the devil that he's coming soon. And when Jesus shows up, the enemy is going to be judged and thrown into the lake of fire. We need to let the light of God shine in us. The brightness of his coming. Again, if the brightness of his coming will defeat the main Antichrist, the brightness of his coming will defeat any other Antichrist spirit that's in your life. The fact of the matter is that until you get the brightness of his coming in you, you will remain in darkness. You will remain enslaved. You will remain imprisoned by the enemy. God wants to illuminate your life with the brightness of his coming. It's so easy to get discouraged and to get bombarded by the things of this life and to forget that he's coming. And to forget that he's coming. He's coming. One of the things we can also say is that he's here. We can say he's here, but he's coming. The Holy Spirit is the light that God has left on to show that somebody is home. You know, thieves try to avoid places that have lights on. And one of the reasons why the devil is stealing from you, because your light is off. You ran out of oil. You stopped praying. You stopped fasting. You stopped seeking God. You ran out of oil like the foolish virgins. And where it's dark, that's where thieves like to sneak in, and that's where they steal and they kill and destroy. You keep the light on, though, that keeps the thieves away. We need to have the brightness of his coming. Can you imagine what it will be like to see the brightness of his coming. Can you imagine what it'll be like to finally behold him in all of his glory? That's the image that we need to focus on. We cannot be discouraged and be oppressed and wearied by all the things that are going on. We must remember that we carry within inside ourselves the light, the glory of God, the brightness of his coming. Let's stand. I'm done. Wouldn't it be too long? I know y'all got barbecues and fried chicken to get to, so I'm... You got to fight the spirit of the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Remind the devil whenever he tries to tempt you and try to discourage you that he's coming. He's coming. He said, behold, Lord, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's right. He's coming. We've got to remember that. Don't lose sight of the fact that he's coming. And that inside of you, you carry the brightness of his coming. Don't let the devil put out your lamp, your witness of Christ, because what your life does is it proves that he's coming. This church is full of evidence of the fact that Jesus Christ is real, that he came in the flesh, and that he's coming again. The spirit of Antichrist denies the first coming, and it's trying to deny the second coming. So we've got to defeat him with the brightness of his coming inside of us. Testify of Christ. If you don't have the brightness of his coming in you, you don't have, you're a vessel, you're like an empty lamp, but with no oil. You know the word of God, but there's no oil that's in there that's combined with that lamp to really illuminate and to radiate. You need to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's oil wants to fill this vessel, that you would become a lamp. Become a lamp. That's what we are. We're a lamp. We're a candle that's telling the world that he's coming. And the reason why they run, because men love darkness more than they love the light. They don't want to admit that he's coming. They don't admit that he even came the first time. But when you get discouraged, remind yourself, I carry inside of me the brightness of his coming. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the scripture says. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Right? You have the spirit that can defeat the Antichrist and all the anti-Christian things that are going on right now. You have the capacity to do it if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, I invite you this at this moment to receive the brightness of his coming. To receive the glory of God inside of you. To put oil in your lamp. There's been darkness. You've been walking in darkness, and you've been stumbling over stuff, trying to find your way, trying to pick your way to something that will bring satisfaction. When God is just saying, if you just let me put oil inside of your lamp, inside of your vessel, combine my word with my oil, you're going to have illumination. And then I'm going to take you to the wedding supper of the Lamb. I'm going to take you to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Don't be like the foolish virgins, and don't carry any oil in your lamp. Coming to church Sunday after Sunday, hearing the word, but not getting the oil. God wants there to be oil in your lamp today. I offer you this opportunity. For those of you that do have oil in your lamp, why don't you let your light shine? Let your light shine. The whole world needs to know that he's coming. The brightness of his coming will destroy the spirit of Antichrist. And that's why we have to continue to preach Jesus and him crucified. That's why we have to put our entire doctrine, our gospel, centralized on Jesus and him alone. And by that, we will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. God bless you.